Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos. And joining me in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, and Chris Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, we were just talking about, my goodness, the Middle East.
Yes.
We're talking about how Iran has a new president, Rouhani. He's a clergy. Okay.
He's in the clergy?
He's in some sort of clergy. If you missed the first hour, you want to get plugged in. You want to share with your friend. VFNTV.com and select The Torch. In the first and second extra hour, we're going to talk about it ain't over until God says it's over. Listen, don't give up. Don't quit. It ain't over. God has the last word. Mm-hmm. Stick around. We know we're just talking about how Iran just elected their new president, Rouhani. We talked about how basically you're looking at a different in style, but don't be fooled. The message remains the same, and that is, listen, get rid of Israel. Mm-hmm. Continue to produce nuclear weapons and package our message in a way that the West, that's us, the United States, buys into what they're doing. Let me tell you something, that every country needs to be put on notice. You can't mess with the apple of God's eye. And even last night, rockets from Gaza were raining in Israel. The Jerusalem Post shares that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Monday warned Palestinians in the Hamas-led Gaza Strip that Israel would continue to act militarily against elements who launch missiles and rockets at the country's population centers. Listen, this can no longer continue to happen. They launched 6 rockets, and it's like, are you for real? Do you know how big the Gaza Strip is? It's like, you understand that they keep picking a fight. Mm-hmm. They keep picking a fight. And as I was thinking about this morning, you know, thinking, catch a clue. When you see that every nation around the Middle East is pointing their finger at Israel and wanting to create trouble, and yet you see all these terroristic attacks from all these other countries. What, have you ever seen a terrorist attack from Israel? You don't see Israel picking fights, starting no trouble. Uh-uh. They're continually defending themselves. Listen, the average person without any spiritual inclination, discernment, anything, can see something is wrong here. Uh-huh. And this is what Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, is quoted as saying. He says, "We have acted and will continue to act against threats that are near and far. I believe that the Jews must be able to defend themselves by themselves and to act with determination against any enemy that tries to harm us." And that statement is so important, defend themselves by themselves, because Israel does not need to put their future in the hands of any country, even the United States.
That's right.
What's happening with this administration, I never thought that we'd have an administration that wouldn't be 100% supportive of Israel in every way, and not mm-hmm. just in rhetoric, not just in words, but in real action. And this is you know, disheartening, but I'll tell you what, not only will Israel defend themselves, but there is one who is zealous for Zion. There is one who sees Israel as the apple of his eye. Nations of the world, be on notice. If you mess with the apple of God's eye, God will mess with you. And we're coming to a point in time where, listen, It's all going to come to an end. Mm-hmm. That enough is enough. And when you see God start responding, when you see things happening, catch a clue. The Middle East is a cup of trembling, and at any moment, We can be brought into really a world war. And when you have major powers around the world that are supporting, especially as a result of Syria, and we talked on BFN Radio how Syria is Syria the next tipping point. Mm-hmm. You have refugees that are racing out of that country, racing. They're spilling over. Mm-hmm. The King of Jordan says they have enough refugees that if you were taking that same percentage and put that percentage of refugees based upon their population and you matched it over to the United States, it'd be the equivalent. This is what King of Jordan said. It'd be equivalent of us having 30 million refugees in our country.
Wow.
And they were even talked about how even they may be wanting to send some refugees here. Listen, this is serious. And you have enemies that are fighting against each other that are united in one goal. And that is the destruction of Israel. But can I tell you that Israel will stand? Can I tell you that the persecuted church will continue to move forward and advance God's kingdom? You can't snuff out what is God's. And God won't let it go out. Because there's one who is zealous, one who is zealous for Zion. And I came across this song by Misty Edwards that I want us to listen to, because it talks about how God is for Israel. Listen up. Nations of the world, listen.
I'm zealous for Zion. I'm jealous for Jerusalem. I am zealous for Zion. I am jealous for Jerusalem. I am zealous for Zion.
He who never sleeps, never slumbers, watches over Israel.
Oh,
nations of the world, listen.
Her touches the apple of my eye. He who touches her touches the apple of my eye. I never change, I never change. To what other nation have I attached my name? To what other ground have I staked my claim? I am the God of Israel. I am that I am, that I am, that I am, that I am. And I never change. Change, no, I never, never change. Oh, you nations all around Jerusalem, oh, the nations that surround, oh, the nations all around Jerusalem, all around. Listen, 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 all across the Middle East. He never changes, he never slumbers or sleeps. And you can't change his mind, even if you try a thousand times.
Listen.
He has said it, and he will never, never change. He has set his king, and he will not be denied. Listen, all across Iraq, in Iran, all across the Middle East, all around Jerusalem, 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 Jerusalem. Listen, O Egypt, listen, O Egypt. I am zealous for Zion. I am that I am, that I am, and I never change. I am the God of Israel. It's who I am. I am zealous for Zion. Apple of my eye, all across Europe, all across Asia, he who touches her touches the apple of my eye. Listen, O America, he who touches her touches the apple of my eye. I am that I am, that I am, I am that I am. To what other nation have I attached my name? To what other ground have I staked my claim? I will not change. No, 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 no. seal for Israel. We will cry out and stand with the God who has zeal for Israel. We will cry out and stand with the God who has zeal. 'Cause he who touches her Israel touches the apple of my eye.
Who will stand? Who will cry out with a God who has zeal for Israel? Psalms 121 verse 4 says, indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Let me tell you that God is watching over Israel. And the nations of the world must be put on notice when you mess with the apple of God's eye. You know what the apple of the eye means? Your eye instinctively responds to anything that remotely comes near it. Your eyelashes, they're not for decoration. They're to protect your eye from garbage or anything to fall into, because your eye is very sensitive. Nothing can touch the eye without causing it damage. Mm-hmm. And yet instantly that your eye is designed that reflectively, that an instant something's about to enter it, it closes shut, it protects itself, and your lashes are like barriers to protect the sensitivity of your eye. You understand that if you go around close to Israel, that God is sensitive about Israel, and if you put your finger anywhere near it, it may not come back. Mm. It's time. Israel must be protected, and God is calling out for those who will stand with him, for the one who is zealous for Zion. It's time for the church to arise. It's time for Americans in this country to arise and say that we will stand. We will stand with Israel. In all your praying, continue to pray for the Israelis, continue to pray for the Christians that are being persecuted in Syria. Continue to pray for the Christians that are being persecuted in Iran, that are in prison, Evan prison, like Pastor Saeed and Pastor Yusuf that was released. Continue to pray for the Egyptian Christians that are being persecuted. Let me tell you something, that the church of God will not be snuffed out. And God will continue to fan that flame. He will continue to fan that flame. In fact, we heard reports even last week on VFN radio that although Iran has promoted a movie to accelerate and rally their people, to rally them to embrace what they believe is their Mahdi, their Messiah, Islamic Messiah, and is calling for millions of martyrs to give their lives for the killing of who? What? Jews. Let me tell you, church, that as Israel goes, so does the church. We want to make sure that we're not falling asleep on our watch.
That's right.
That we serve our generation well. And that we don't go to sleep while the enemies of Israel, the enemies of God, are creeping in and are launching an attack. Mm-hmm. It's time, like never before, to stand. You know, we're going to get ready to share, when we come back from our break, we're going to share an encouraging word, that it's not over until it's over. You're seeing everything happening around the world. You're seeing economies that are shifting, that are so shaky. You're seeing the Middle East as shaky. You're seeing protests and riots all over the place. Let me tell you something. It ain't over. Maybe you're even facing a personal trial in your own life and a shaking. No matter what it looks like, no matter what the things that are coming against you, it doesn't matter. Because God indeed is the one who has the final word. And we're going to listen to that when we get right back.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Here's activist and lead singer of U2, Bono, describing why social justice is such a driving passion in his life.
Jesus begins his ministry by what? by quoting Isaiah, he walks into the temple and he said that the blind may see, set the captives free, that the poor, all of the sort of justice agenda, that's how Christ began. So if we aren't following that, that's what was at the heart of, apart from personal redemption, which is the key, the second most important drive of the entire New Testament is against injustice and where we see it in little or large ways.
So where do you see injustice, and what can you do to help those who are suffering? Bono will be featured on our broadcast tomorrow, and you can hear that on this station or at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, Jesus said in John 15, he says, talking of himself, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am the vine, talking of himself.
Right.
You, us, believers, are the branches,
mm-hmm.
and his father, our father, mm-hmm. is the gardener.
Right.
And the vine just kind of grows where it wants to go. You know, it grows towards the sun. Natural vines grow towards the S-U-N,
mm-hmm.
and spiritual vine and branches grow to the S-O-N.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is neat.
And so, you know, for God spoke to me about, as he called us, called me out to be able to begin to do what we're doing today,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't just happen like this. And he said, very specifically, I'm going to teach you something for 3 years that I'm going to use for the next 30 years in my church.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed that through Dutch Sheets. It was pretty cool how God had done that, because you think, you know, when God's calling you, this might be you right now, you might be thinking, okay, I got the call. I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You have to understand that there's a process of learning and growing that you need to understand. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, when he said, get thee up and go to Abram, that meant 25 years, right?
Right.
Well, you need to get rightly related. You need to get connected to what God is doing. And we tried. So once the 3 years was up, it was amazing. Just right in time, God just showed up in a powerful way. He just nailed it. It said, it's finished. It's time to do it. It was just really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we started the 30-year journey.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, how can we explain this in a short period of time, you know, a condensed period of time, to help people get perspective,
right,
of what Vine Fellowship Network's about, and it just integrates with the Word of God. It's just doing what God says, mm-hmm. you know. And so, while Vine, which is Jesus is the vine,
mm-hmm.
fellowship is what the church does, and network, we all stay together and stay rightly related, which is you know, Psalms 133, you know,
right,
and John 17:23. And so, what came of that was called, we call it the Vine Seminar. The Vine Seminar, Vine Seminars, which is, there's several different seminars now that's evolved in, but knowing this, that the main seminar that started it was trying to explain,
mm-hmm.
how do you move from a flower pot to a vine? How do you move out of the fences and the confinement of men's tradition rightly, not wrongly,
right,
and follow God in the Great Commission? And God walked us through a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed it every step of the way. Well, we share that. We share that at the Vine Seminars. You can find out more at vineseminars.org. You can sign up for one in your city. Just fill it out. Let them know that you are interested in it, and we'll make it available to you. It's vineseminars.org.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. Joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris. And we're talking about, don't mess with the apple of God's eye. Don't mess with the apple of God's eye. Well, you know, we're talking about being zealous for Zion. And what we're listening to was a song by Misty Edwards that comes out of the International House of Prayer. And I want to encourage you, and we will make this available for you on The Torch in related content, but this comes out of a subscription base that right now IHOP is allowing folks to partner with them for the prayer room. They have 24-hour prayer 7 days a week, and this is the worship that kind of comes out of that those prayer encounters. And this was in volume 49, and it's called Zealous for Zion. And so if you want to support them and get that song, you want to get, you know, subscribe to them and be blessed by it. But it's a wonderful, wonderful song that just comes out prophetically and just beautiful. Let me tell you, God is zealous for Zion. You better nations of the world, listen up. Mm-hmm. Listen up. If you poke your finger, you may not get it back. Mm. And you may lose more. Believe me, you'll lose more than just the finger. What we're going to talk about, it ain't over until God says it's over. Oftentimes, people are willing to throw in the towel. They're facing so many circumstances and so many things around the world. And you come to a point where you can be so depressed, so dejected, rejected, hurt, that you're so tempted to say, why am I doing this anymore? Why? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? And you just come to a point where even the strongest are saying, I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to give up. I've been holding, fighting, standing. And it's not making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're allowing the circumstance, you're allowing the naysayers, you're allowing those that have attacked you to get so in your mind that you're about to give up. I want to encourage you today. We want to encourage you to say, listen, it's not over. It ain't over until God says it's over. I want you to listen to this segment. Be encouraged. And we'll talk more about it here in a minute.
It's just hard to explain quite often that God has so much to say about what's going on, and there's so many encouraging words. You know, I got a chance to minister, and just yesterday, talking about it ain't over till God says it's over. And God is a God this is how He always works. He waits until it looks like it's over when Adam and Eve ate the apple in the garden. I mean, it's got to be over. What are you doing? I'm hiding from God right now. I have apple dripping from my face.
Stuck applesauce.
Yeah, applesauce. I got apple skin in my teeth. And it's not apple, but we're just using it as an analogy. I'm sure Apple's a good company. And and then, you know, in their digestive tract, you know, in their stomachs are laying the sin of their choices. And you hear this boom, boom, boom. I mean, this God walking through the garden, you know what I'm saying? Mm. And all of a sudden Adam looks at Eve and goes, what did you do? You know, and she said, you ate it too.
Don't you love when God asks the question, where are you?
Yeah. And then so here he comes, you know, God's getting closer and closer. You know, Adam and Eve are going, it's over. We had all this beautiful house that he gave us. We had this wonderful job. We had this great nation that he gave us. We had this wonderful family, all these different things. And now we chose to do what he told us not to do, and he's getting closer.
Mm, mm, mm.
Dun, 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 dun. And think about it, right?
Yeah.
That's right, you know? And you think about it, he told us not to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we did it, and he's getting closer. And all of a sudden, we just start looking for places, right?
That's right.
Places to hide. Ah, I got to get a second job. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'll move out of town. Well, Google's proven don't matter where you move nowadays.
No, they'll find you.
You know, I get my car in a hurry so the cameras can't catch me too much. But I do have my phone with me so they know where my dot is. That's what I can say. I can say I was not there. Go check my dot.
Yeah.
My beacon was there. When I saw I ran. Anyway, which I'd love to tell that story someday. But you know that anxiety that they must have felt. You know, it looked like it was over. And right. You may be listening to this morning, you know, you're thinking the very same thing. And here you are, it's like, oh my goodness, I was deceived. You know, I was deceived as a father, as a mother, as a family, as a person, a believer, and I was blinded by my own lust for more and things and stuff and money and whatever it was, and I bit the forbidden fruit. I bit it. When you hang your head in shame and you're thinking, no, don't invite the minister over right now.
Yeah.
your wife says, let me just call the pastor. No.
Not today. Not right now.
Or the husband says to the wife, let's just go to counseling. I will not. Or the children, you know. I mean, the whole thing is, just think about it. And so, but then God shows up when it looks like it's totally over, and he provides a way out. A lot of people say, you know, well, God threw him out of the garden. No, he didn't. He didn't throw him out of the garden. He prevented them from reaching up and eating from the tree of life and living forever in an eternal fallen state. If they would have ate from the tree of life, they would have lived forever in a fallen state. So he ushered them out. He killed an animal. There was a sacrificial animal. He used the skin of the animal to cover them. So the sacrifice of the animal, the blood covered their sin, but it didn't forgive their sin. But he made a way. I mean, he made a way. And I want to encourage you right now, because you're looking at things in society. I mean, what the enemy is trying to do continually is to get you to lock in to the lie that says it's over.
That's right.
You know, and it's not over until God says it's over. But by the way, when God says it's over, it's over. Ask Eli. You remember Eli? Mm-hmm. Eli, I'll never forget that. As a new believer, I was reading about the priest Eli, who was chosen by God. And he was, Samuel was being raised up, a prophet of God was being raised up. And this is why Eli's don't like Samuels. You know, and he's being raised up in the house of God and the temple of God where the priests were ministering there. And he sleep by the he would sleep by the ark. I mean, he would sleep right there by the presence of God. I mean, he was so, you know, in tune with God. Not Eli, but Samuel did. And all of a sudden, this man who was into sin, this man who refused to do things God's way anymore, this the man that didn't deal with the priests that was going on, the things that was happening, he just let it continue to happen. That would just sent the ark out for whatever reason, sent the presence of God out for whatever reason. He still knew how to hear from the voice of God. He remembered what it was like hear from the voice of God. And so Samuel comes to him and says, because Samuel hears his name, and he goes, what do you need? You know, I was sleeping by God's presence. Do you need me really? You know? And he goes, well, that wasn't me, you know. And he comes back, he goes asleep again, and again he hears his name, and he goes back to Eli, and then Eli says, that's God.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that those who no longer hear from God can let you know what it was like when they did? You'd think they'd go back and say, you know, I want to hear from him too. Let's just come with God together. Right. But there's a reason why he didn't, because he said, well, go listen to him, find out what he's saying, and come back. It's a dangerous thing for Eli to say.
Yeah, right.
This is what you say. Let's pray fast, check ourselves, see if we're in the faith, you know, get back in God's word again, abide with him. Let's pray. And then, I mean, even Ahab knew how to do this, right?
That's one of my famous last words. My goodness.
Yeah, no, Ahab knew to fast and pray and rip his clothes. And God turned, you know, in the beginning of what Ahab's doing. Right. But Eli said, yeah, he was so familiar with God. Just find out what he wants. You know, I'm sure he wants you to tell the widow lady up the street that she needs a blessing or something like that. I don't know. And so that, and then he goes away and hears from God. When he comes back, he says, well, be it. May God deal with you ever so severely. You don't ever say that. May God deal with you ever so severely.
No, you don't want to do that.
And for the King James, may God dealeth with you ever so severely. He said, okay, I'll tell you. And he said, because you wouldn't deal with your sons, because you wouldn't deal with the priest, because you just took lightly the things of God. You just shunned me. You just took my business over and made it your own. Mm. And he says, the priesthood's going to be removed from ever in your life. And, you know, your whole lineage, pain, the sword will never leave your... And it's like, dude, Samuel, come on, dude. Don't you know we've been... You know, and he delivered this word. But this is the thing Eli said, though. It was pretty interesting. You know, before his sons died and before he fell and broke his neck, he said, well, God said it. Therefore it is. I mean, it was over for Eli.
Right.
But let me tell you, that's a rarity, because Eli could have, before he sent somebody to hear from the voice of the Lord in his own home, he could have checked himself, but he forgot who God was, and he forgot the ways of God, you know. And so, but it's not over until God says it's over.
That's right.
Even when, you know, I'm saying this, I believe, because somebody's listening today, and you're thinking it's over. But if you look back in your history, there's many times you thought it was over. You thought it was over. You thought your relationship was going to come to an end. You thought, you know, you were going to lose a child, or you thought you were going to lose your job and it would never be over. You would never get a job again, or you were going to, you know, whatever. And it just, you had the enemy just bombarded you with, it's over. Mm. It's over. And it's not over till God says it's over.
That's right.
It's so important. Right. It's so important. Remember, if you're God's, or if you're not God's, but you want God to be your Lord, that's a perfect time when God's saying it's about to be over for you.
Yeah.
That you can make Jesus your Lord, and guess what? It won't be over for you. Life as you knew it may be different, but it's not going to be over for you. I mean, you think about everything. I mean, you look at Abraham and Sarah. Here they were. You know, God said, "Get thee up and go, and I'll make you a great nation." And they made mistakes, did all those kind of different things, but it just never happened to the point where their bodies were good as dead. They couldn't have babies no more.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't have babies no more. So it looked like it was over. It looked like, I mean, he just began with Abraham. And there is no child. There is no appropriate, there's no child coming.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's over. Right. It's got to be over, right?
And no seen way in the natural that it could come.
Yeah, and he tried to make it happen, and we're still dealing with that issue today. When he, you know, his wife said, "I got an idea. You seen the, you know, our housekeeper here? Really? No, Hagar, right?
That's the truth."
And they believe that the housekeeper, their slave, or you know, that that they would have a child if they actually had it sitting in your lap. If Hagar had Abraham's child while Hagar was sitting in the lap of Sarah having the child, then it would be Sarah's child.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm sure Hagar's going, really? That was me screaming. That was me going through that. And then you take my child? That's crazy. But it looks like it's happening today, don't it?
Sarah, yeah. I think there was a little resentment back then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she got so upset that she just took off. And even though it was Sarah and Abraham's mistake or sin, that she just got upset and she took off. And she was in the wilderness and it looked like it was over for her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like it was. Oh, I mean, think about it. They used her, they abused her, they tried to take her child, they tried to promote her child, and then when the truth came, you know, they had to release and tell her, "Listen, everything I told you wasn't right because I stepped ahead of God, and I have to step back." And they're thinking you can just throw away your mistakes, but God's going, "No. It's not over for them either, right? Because she's out there in the wilderness, and she just went out to die. Matter of fact." It was Sarah's idea in the first place, right. But then Sarah goes, "Send that woman away."
Right.
You know, it's like, don't you cause this? Aren't you the one that was stirring all this problem up here? And now you're telling me. I was like, another story. And so then she's out there in the wilderness. It looks like it's totally over, but God shows up to their mistake, to where, because they're human beings. Mm-hmm. Human beings were hurt in the process and were produced in the process. And he said, "Listen," he said, "I want you to go back, but I want to make your son a great nation." And you think, what's going on? Well, what's going on was when Abraham and Sarah thought it was over, they turned to their own strength. And this is very important right now during this time. We're seeing great things that looks as projecting and prognosticating that it's over. It's just not over. It's just not over. I mean, think about it. It wasn't over for them, and it's not over for you.
It's not
over till God says it's over. And you think about, I mean, every single time, I mean, you can go through the entire, but think about David and Saul. David was a chosen man by God. Saul, another chosen man by God, was trying to kill David. I mean, it's got to be over when one minister is trying to kill another, right? I mean,
oh, for sure.
And both of them are chosen by God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that is happening. You have two men who are anointed by God. And the thing is, that people don't understand was that Saul lost his call.
Mm.
But the anointing was still there until he was no longer there anymore. He was living on yesterday's groceries, you know what I'm saying? But he was. He was still anointed as king. And David understood, don't lay your hands on God's anointed. So he honored him even when he was trying to kill him.
Mm.
You know, you throw a sword at the dinner table, a big spear. You know, pass the ketchup and the spear. You know, I mean, it's got to be over when the king's chunking spears at you.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that he's a chosen man by God to be able to be king. You think about it. but they don't know, but you've been chosen as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what embitters the present day man, is because he knows his days are numbered, unless he repents, because Saul could have repented.
Sure.
And then, so David's running for his life. You know, he's running for his life. It's got to be over when you're running for your life. He just tried to play his guitar. He just tried to do what he was told to do. And
killed a couple of giants, you know,
killed giants that everybody was hiding from. You know, he was sent out to get 100 Philistines foreskins, and I got 300, I believe, or something like that. Or ask the Philistines, they know. And where he was sent out to kill thousands, and you know, he would kill 10,000s, and all of a sudden his statistics, his Facebook had more likes on it than. Is that so funny? That's true, isn't it? And so he had more likes on his Facebook than Saul had, and Saul began to get jealous because he turned on the radio. Song, and the song was, you know, Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. And it's like David's going, please don't sing that.
Let's
song.
Not bring this up.
You don't understand who I work for. Let's just stay low. Let's stay cool. I mean, it looks like it's over, right? It's like hit the airways, like it's number one on the top 10 songs singing now, and he knows it's got to be over now because he had private issues, but now he's got public issues. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And he has to run for his life. He goes and makes his wife, tells her, says, listen, throw some stuff in the bed and make it look like me.
Mm.
It'd take more stuff to throw the covers for me. That's not him. That's a broom. Anyway, so then, you know, he runs out the window and starts to run for his life. I mean, it's got to be over when you're making like a fake person under your covers and the man who was chosen by God to lead his peoples after you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got to be over, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. I'm encouraging you right now, if you're listening to us, it ain't over until God says it's over.
That's right.
Understand that David, God was working out his will, you know, in the whole situation. You know, what men mean for evil, God means for good. So, and so here's David. He's running. I mean, he's running to a point he finally finds a cave. I mean, not a cheap hotel. At least got some air blowing over you that does smell like an ashtray. I found that why you don't get cheap hotel rooms.
Oh my goodness.
I slept in an ashtray. You know, I didn't sleep. I stayed for about a microsecond. I'm like, oh my goodness. Is this what an ashtray feels like? Anyway, so it's like, do you have one that just has pets in it? You know, anyway. and so he's running for his life. He gets to a cave. And it looks, it's got to be over. I mean, you're in a cave. I'm sure you didn't have cable in or nothing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was out there and he's just like, he's like, oh my goodness. What do I do? What do I do? Dear God. And he starts writing some Psalms. You can see some Psalms. The Psalms like, oh my God, the king is trying to kill me. Dear God, Selah, you know, help me. And, but you are good and you're coming, right? And so he's writing these songs. And then finally somebody shows up to help him. It's broke, busted, left-handed, disgusted, government-hating, you know, people. 300 of them, right? Something like that.
That's right.
They hate it. They hated everything. It's like, no, I don't hate the government. I don't hate what God's established. You're missing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some misfits. And then he's like, it's got to be over now.
Just join me.
Yeah, because David was not those people. No. David was not those people. That is not David's heart. Remember, David was for the king. David's for God. David did everything that God required of him. But now, others who are doing things God required, you know, it's like, you're ruining my reputation. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to think I was doing, you know, that kind of thing. And so it looks like it's over at that point, right? I mean, it was already bad enough in the cave, but now you got 300 sweaty, I'm sure they didn't have right guard. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And anyway, so
turn left.
I know. Right? Is there ventilation in this cave? And so here, it's got to be over, right? I mean, it's got to be over. It ain't over till God says it's over. And I'm talking to you this morning. Mm-hmm. Realize it's not over. The reason why you're hearing so much stuff on the news and the radio, and you need to start listening to VFN radio, and don't listen to what the world's saying, because the purpose of them being held captive and their tongues to speak into your life is to get you to convince it's over, so you'll lock your faith into it being over instead of lock your faith into the reality that God moves when men think it's over, that's when God does his best work. That's when he brings glory to his name. I mean, think about it. I mean, he's running for his life. He's going from the cave of Adullam and all these different caves. He's running. And I mean, Saul's out looking for him. He's like, don't you have a job? Yes. What are you doing?
Yeah, right.
What are you doing dragging me down? You know, it's like, come on, I'm out here. Listen, I left. You know, don't just stay away. Mm-hmm. And he's out hunting them up. But no matter what happens, of course, you know, Saul's just bent on trying to destroy him. And God was really training David up. And you have to understand that. It's not over. God was in all that. Because God sent that spirit on Saul to be able to work him up so that he will work David over, so David would not be another Saul. Mm-hmm. Because Saul had no process, and David had lots and lots of process. Mm-hmm. And process is important because your gifting can take you places that your character can't keep
you.
That's
right.
And so it's got to be like it's over. It's totally over. And but it wasn't over. It was not over. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because all of a sudden, one day out the middle of nowhere, while Saul was out trying to deal with his flesh, Saul was out trying to deal with the Philistines. I mean, when you read about Philistines, you think about flesh. I mean, it's got to be over. He's having this huge turmoil with his flesh, and it just won't stop. And all of a sudden, he's just given over to it, right? Mm-hmm. He's given over to the Philistines, right? That's what happens. If you stay on that trail of destruction and follow the adversary's ways in darkness, there'll be a day like Samson that we won't come back from it. Mm. And that's when it becomes over, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so it looks like it's over. I mean, David's like in a whole other place now. He's totally okay with it. He has no more business cards to say. I will be the number two king.
Took the website down. Can't find himself. Not working. No Texas.
Oh my goodness!
Dave? Have y'all seen David?
Yeah, right. Can you imagine today he'd be Googled to death? Right? I know he was here. I mean, you know, he killed his 10,000. Got to be David out somewhere.
Took his collar off.
I mean, it's got to be over when they're trying to force you to come against God's people and you refuse to do it. And so you start foaming at the mouth and scratching on the gate, acting like you're crazy. David's sitting here going, you know, they're fixing the, it's gotta be over when you're having to act crazy, right? Just to stay alive or just to keep, from being partnering with those who are trying to bring harm to God's people. Put it that way. And he's like foaming at the mouth, scratching the gate, acting like it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's gotta be over at that point, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you two would have been around at that point, you know what I'm saying? His whole manager, like, that was the gate drooling incident. Do you remember that?
Could you explain that?
Anyway, so with that, you know, understand, it looked like it was over, but all of a sudden, one day, the Philistines wound Saul. His flesh wounded him to the point when he tells his own armor bearer, the people that were around him, just kill me. Kill me. I don't want to fall into the hands of the Philistines. You know, take me out. And, I mean, you think about it, David's probably thinking it's over. I mean, it's gotta be over.
Right.
I mean, it's gotta be over. And then all of a sudden, his armor bearers go, no, I'm not going to do it. And he falls on his own sword. He does himself in. And the people come to David and they say, listen, we were always for you.
Right.
We always knew you heard from the Lord. Right.
I got those newsletters. I read them.
All of a sudden, you have like a lot of friending on your Facebook. Anyway, so then you know, if he only had 300 friends, I guess on his Facebook at that point. Anyway, so he was only one for. Oh, that can mean. Anyway, so it looked like it was over, and so then they come to him. And they say, "Listen, will you be our king? Will you be our king?" And so they came to him. I mean, it looked like it was over, but understand this. It's not over till God says it's over. Mm. You will have to walk through experiences in your life. You've got to taste what it's like to feel like it's over so you can understand the only thing you've come to the end of is yourself.
That's right.
And that's okay. It's a good experience because that's when God steps in. When your back is against the Red Sea and you got Pharaoh's army coming against you and you're sandwiched between drowning and being massacred, all you can do is look up and just go, God. And that's what he wanted us to do. He always wants us to look up. Mm-hmm. And then that's when God does his best work. Listen, what they're telling us in America and what they're saying, that's all a strategy. It's all a point to see what is God's people going to do. Are they going to look up? Or are they going to try to work with Pharaoh's army? You know, are they going to turn to making bricks again and say, listen, we just got to turn to government? Or are we going to just go kill ourselves by drowning in the sea? Or are we just going to look up to God and say, God, here we are, you know, deliver us. And this is when our God delivers. He delivers at the point when you're sandwiched between inevitable destruction or massacre. I mean, that's where it is. And don't think it's over at that point, because what God did when Moses raised up his staff, as the Lord gave him a word, as he spent time with God, abiding, which we talk about all the time, God began to blow, and he blew so hard upon the Red Sea that it pushed the waters to the point that it split in two. The Red Sea split in two.
Right.
So think about it. They had the army of Pharaoh on one side going, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill you. You killed my son. You did all this stuff to my business and my kingdom, and we're going to kill you. And all of a sudden, the Red Sea parts. But he blows so hard on the Red Sea that even the ground that's under the sea, you can imagine how soft and mushy and gushy and, you know, things are in the bottom of a sea, because it's been water forever, you know. And but it, he blows, it dried the ground out. So God's people were able to walk over on dry ground. I mean, come on. It ain't over until God says it's over. Now, listen, if you buy into what they're saying, it's over for you.
That's right.
But if you understand how God works, and as a matter of fact, so we made available to you on VFN TV, and you can get this whole revelation that it ain't over till God says it's over. It's not over till God says it's over. You can get it at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris. And we're just talking about how it ain't over till God says it's over. Listen, no matter what you're facing, when Adam and Eve, let me tell you something. When there was ever a thought to, when there was ever a time to think that it was over, when you hear footsteps of God coming in.
Yeah.
And starting asking you some questions that you know he already knows the answer.
Exactly.
It's time to go row. This would be over. Eve, it was nice knowing you for these 2 days that we've been live here. It was Earth. This was all good concept. You know, great. Mm-hmm. I think he's about to start over. I think it's over for us. I think he's about to start over. Think about it.
I mean, how depressing that was.
I mean, think about it. I mean, they knew this was the beginning, right? I mean, they could have been like, you know, he is God. He is so awesome. Why did we blow this? I mean, can you imagine that conversation? How did we blow this? We were the first ones.
Yeah.
We heard him talk about this vision. We heard him describe everything that's going to happen.
Think about how long they had to live with that guilt. That's back when they lived 900 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Could you imagine?
No. Don't want to.
No. Don't want to go there. Thank God our lives have been shortened.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's all.
And that whole dialogue that went back and forth. He's coming. He knows it. He saw it. We enjoyed this awesomeness. And Adam was like, I was all alone, me and these animals. You know what I'm saying? He gave me you. Like, how did this happen to us? And this is how sometimes tragedies happen in our life. We go, how did this happen? God blessed us. God, how did this happen in our home? How did this happen in our marriage? How did this happen with our kids? How did this happen in my how did this happen? How did this happen? I feel like someone's listening today, like you fell into some sin and you're saying, how did this happen? And you're thinking it's over. God's done with me, you know, it's over. Let me tell you something. It may be over with, man, that's a whole different whole ball game. But it's never, ever, ever over with God. God is the God not only of second chances, He is the God of unlimited chances if we turn our hearts to Him. Listen, the thing that you thought was going to take you out and destroy you may be the very best thing that ever could have happened in your life. Mm. Welcome that trial as a friend, because if you allow it to, if you allow it to, you can get bitter or you can get better. Mm-hmm. It's not just a difference of a couple of letters. It's a difference in your entire life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Listen, look to Jesus. He is a way maker where there is no way. And He can rescue you no matter where you are at. And He'll turn your mess and make it your message. And He'll take your sadness and turn it to joy. He is awesome. And don't ever forget it. Well, as we come to the end of the extra hour, we do want to talk about the VFN Torch Top 3. We're so excited when we get a chance to share with you the top three stories on the torch now with over 1,800 Spat,
wow,
segments, highlights on the torch that you can look at and listen to, and there's more content. There's only so much we can share on the radio, but when you go to the torch by going to VFNTV.com, you can see highlight upon highlight upon highlight with related content, related articles, videos, pictures. And allows us to go further and deeper into what we were sharing. Not only that, but if you notice that on the right-hand corner, there's a search bar. And I'm saying this for all the new VFN radio listeners that join us all the time. You can search up multiple topics or areas and you'll find highlights that'll go on for what appears for days. Mm-hmm. But the top three today that I want to share with you, the first one is going through God-ordained fires. Let me tell you something. This highlight is awesome. We share it from Proverbs 17:3. And it's basically how God compares how He tests our hearts with fiery trials. And how it proves that our faith is as genuine as silver when it's purified in the crucible and gold is refined in the furnace. Listen, trials allow us to recognize that, you know what? God is bigger. We can go through the fires. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, some of these fires are God-ordained. But God mm-hmm. will allow you to be tested. He will allow you to be tested so that you can find out that God is even the one in the fire. And He'll see you all the way through. The second one we want to share is, where are you on the map? Where are you on the map? This is a funny highlight in which Greg shares and Pat about when they were going through Rome, Italy. And they were being driven around the city by someone who had no idea where they were at. They had no idea. So they're going around and around and around in circles. And they share humorously of what happened. I believe they were on a layover going somewhere. And this is very, very interesting. If you don't know where you're at, how in the world will you know where you're going? Mm-hmm. You got to first identify, where are you on the map?
That's right.
We need to stop blaming others and making excuses for our present location and recognize I am where I am. But you need to get a pulse on that. Some people have no idea what you got to know. Listen, this is where I am. This is my situation. Now You can be in tune with the reality and then actually know where you actually want to go and what that destination is. But where are you on the map? And the last highlight we want to share with you as we close out the extra hour is, do you have courage to stand in these times for God and country? Listen, we are experiencing times that are going to test men's souls. Mm. And what's going to need to happen is for men and women of God to have courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's doing something in the presence of fear. It's sticking, staying, standing, moving, sharing, talking, loving for everything that's right in God and everything that's right with our wonderful country. In this segment, we talk about a movie called The Last Ounce of Courage. And it just talks about a man who said, listen, I want to stand up for what's right in this country, and I'm not going to sit down or lay down. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to let my word come forth. It was President Ronald Reagan who said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same thing. Do you have the courage to stand?
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.